It looks like the Philippine government is ready for COVID vaccine trials. Pero teka, ano exactly mangyayari sa trials?
And let's talk about part of the budget for 2021. Kamusta na yung provinces na madalas na binabagyo? Do they still have calamity funds? O naubos na lahat sa COVID?
Mula po sa Quezon City, ako si Robbie Alampay, Puma Podcast.
At ako si Inday Espina Varona. It's September 14. Ito ang Teka Teka, balita para sa mga huli sa balita.
Teka Teka, before we continue with this newscast, chances are you're already familiar with Puma Podcast. Well, as you also know by now, Teka Teka na po ang tawag natin sa ating newscast. And we're putting Teka Teka on its own channel in the same streaming platform. So this is just a reminder, please do continue to follow Puma Podcast. We're very happy for that. We appreciate your support. But now you can also, and we encourage you, to follow Teka Teka on its own channel para if you want to binge and just listen to the news na sunod-sunod, you can follow Teka Teka as well. But do please continue to follow Puma Podcast as well.
Robbie, since day one of the COVID pandemic, we've been told to wait for a vaccine. Now, Metro Manila, Calabarzon, Cebu are being eyed as areas for COVID vaccine trials. Science and Technology Secretary Fortunato de la Peña announced this in a briefing last week.
Ipinipili kasing lugar ay yung mataas ang incidence ng COVID-19. So yung mga barangay na naroroon o malapit doon, usually it will require anywhere between 5 to 10 barangays for a trial.
Kasali kasi ang Pilipinas sa Solidarity Vaccine Trial ng World Health Organization. Ang tanong ngayon is the how of it. How do these trials actually go? More importantly, who will be tested and where? We asked Josa Quiñones to look into this.
Hi, Robbie. Hi, Inday. Actually, sinimulan ng WHO ang Solidarity Trial para mapabilis ang clinical trials ng coronavirus vaccines. 100 countries ang kasali dito at isa na dyan ang Pilipinas. Ang COVID vaccine na itetest sa mga patients na 18 years old pataas at naka-admit sa mga participating hospitals. Pero ipapaliwanag muna sa kanila ng assigned medical team ang procedure at mga risk. At kapag pumayag ang pasyente, ilalagay sila sa database. Kasama kung may mga underlying medical conditions sila, tulad ng diabetes, hika, o sakit sa puso, baga, o atay. Ang database ang magsasabi kung aling gamot o treatment ang gagamitin ng pasyente. Pagkatapos nito, babantayan ng medical team ang pasyente. Ire-record nila kung anong gamot o treatment ang binigay at kung ilang araw. Kailan na discharge o kung sakali, kailan at bakit namatay ang pasyente habang nasa ospital. Sabi ng DOH, sa October daw magsisimula ang Solidarity Clinical Trials. Sa ngayon, hindi pa natutukoy ng WHO kung alin sa mga vaccine candidates ang gagamitin para sa trials.
Maraming salamat, Josa. Josa is the producer of our new segment, COVID Corner. And this week, kinausap niya si DJ Bandoy, isang genomic data scientist who could explain to us some more about the ongoing vaccine research all over the world. Among other things, Josa asked him, talaga bang after 14 days, gumagaling na ang tao sa COVID?
Yung kasing virus, nagmumultiply yan sa loob ng katawan. Pero kagaya nga ng sabi nila, walang forever. So hindi siya magmumultiply forever. Meron lang siyang limitation. Ang peak nun kasi is around 10 days, bababa na yung number niya. So ibig sabihin, pag mababa yung bilang ng virus, mas hindi na siya ganun ka-infectious.
Catch more of that conversation on COVID Corner on the Teka Teka channel.
Rob, I'm sure you know that the Philippines gets some of the most and the biggest typhoons every year.
Yes, Inday. You know, earlier on in my career, I actually spent a number of years covering Pag-asa. The Philippines is, in fact, a major research center for typhoons worldwide.
Yes, Rob. And this year, it's complicated, of course, by COVID-19. Now, typhoon season is right on us. So let's hear from Trisha Aquino about preparations for this.
Yes, and how COVID is complicating an annual problem.
Yes, Inday, Robbie. Kinausap ko si Estrella Torres from Save the Children Philippines. Ang Save the Children ay isang international aid agency. And for years, they've been working on emergency response that's focused on children, along with pregnant and lactating mothers. Very vulnerable kasi ang sectors na to kapag may kalamidad. And what Australia found is that poor municipalities are running out of calamity funds kasi nadadivert ito to COVID response.
As early as March, nag-umpisa nilang bumili ng PPEs, yung mga masks. So, ginagastosan din nila yung pagpapatayo ng quarantine facilities kasi nagdating nga naman yung LSIs nila, yung locally stranded individuals. So, nandun yung takot nila at saka yung pagkataranta na ang liit-liit ng town nila, tapos wala silang ospital. So, paano sila magre-respond doon sa kung sakali man na magkaroon ng COVID sa lugar nila?
So, sa Sulat and Dolores municipalities ito sa Eastern Samar. Itong mga lugar na to, maraming extreme weather events, tulad ng typhoons, storm surges, at flash floods. Mahihirap na community itong mga to. In fact, they have to prepare for COVID at a time when they haven't even completely recovered from Yolanda and Ruby. And now, they have to face the prospect of even more typhoons destroying their homes and forcing them into evacuation centers. Nakausap ni Estrella ang isang mangingisda mula sa Sulat. Ito ang kwento ni Manong tungkol sa Bagyong Ruby.
No, nawala yung kabuhayan ng lahat ng mga tao sa barangay nila. Nagkokopra sa rice at saka yung bananas. Lahat yon binaha. And then he was a fisherman. Sabi niya, hindi pa pwedeng mag-fish kasi lubog pa kami. So dangerous pa. Tapos yung maliit na tindahan na lang yung inaasahan nila. But hindi rin kumikita dahil wala na talagang pera yung mga tao. All of the people in the community had to rely on the relief goods.
Ang Sulat Municipality ay may 5 million pesos in calamity funds. More than half of this, nagastos na for COVID. Sa Dolores naman, nagastos na nila ang lahat ng kanilang calamity funds. At ang matindi rito, paparating pa lang ang typhoon season sa mga lugar na to, October to December.
Maraming salamat, Tricia Aquino.
Rob, let's talk about deepfake. The US elections are coming up at may mga report ng plano na isabotage raw ito.
Oo nga, and not just sa US. Actually, sa lahat ng elections and in all the countries, deepfakes is going to be a very big problem. We started this conversation last week when we talked about that op-ed article that was written by a robot. While this is all very interesting, even fascinating, it's also quite disturbing. It's not just about science fiction, whether you believe that machines and robots will take over the planet, but also even because even right now, this can result and is resulting in a lot of misleading content. Not just fake news, deep fakes. We've seen videos of this online. One of the more popular ones was this video made by Jordan Peele, where he used AI technology to look and sound like former US President Barack Obama. Let's be clear about this. This is not Obama speaking.
We're entering an era in which our enemies can make it look like anyone is saying anything at any point in time, even if they would never say those things. So,
nakakatakot nga yan, Rob. Lalo na ngayon, kalaban natin ang fake news. Some, of course, are crude. But with this technology, mukhang ang dali nang gumawa ng AI-generated videos of people appearing to say or do things na hindi naman nila sinabi o ginawa.
Yes, and to emphasize, Inday, that this is really more an ethical question than a technology question. If you remember, may video halimbawa in the US, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi na kumalat sa social media because she seemed drunk.
Well, Rob, ang maganda naman sa ating human beings, meron tayong self-correction tendencies. Malakas rin yan, no? So tech giants are now trying to address this problem. Last June, Facebook released a database of 100,000 deep fake videos to teach their AI technology to spot them.
We want to give this president the opportunity to do something historic for our country. We want to give this president the opportunity.
The thing is, that soundbite, technically speaking, it's not fake. It's real news. That really was Pelosi speaking, and it was not a fake video, except that the video was sped down to 75% of the normal speed. So, totoo lahat ng sinabi niya. She did, in fact, say those words, but it was the context of having her appear drunk that made that video go viral. Now, the point is, we're not only bracing for the technology that will allow deep fakes, we are also grappling with the ethics of context being manipulated, not even just by technology, but by how skeptical or not skeptical we are in consuming information. Now, Inday, bago tayo magtapos, eto totoo to, hindi to deepfake. But is this sound familiar to you?
Sa ating kaligtasan at upang maiwasan ang pagkalat ng COVID-19, panatiliin po natin ang 1 meter social distancing.
Ah, yes, Rob. Actually, I have some questions about this.
And I'm sure a lot of people have questions about this also. I mean, kumalat to sa social media and people didn't quite know what to make of this information. In fact, this public service announcement, a lot of people were in fact scratching their heads because it was so ironic. Totoo ba to? Or was this fake news? Was this parody? Was this a joke? Or is this in fact something that Filipinos should be aware of as new policy?
Friends, if you know the answer, message us at our Teka Teka Facebook page.
Eh, nahulaan niya ba yung mystery sound dun sa last episode?
Human beings are a disease, a cancer of this planet. You are a plague, and we are the cure.
Definitely, Rob. The Matrix. Classic talaga yung scene yan.
Yes, and very relevant to a lot of the things we just talked about. At yan po ang ating huling mga balita para sa mga huli sa balita. Follow our page, Teka Teka, for more new stories. And you can still follow Puma Podcast PH for more updates on our other podcast. Muli, ako po si Robbie Alampay.
At ako si Inday Espina Varona.
Teka Teka, like Puma Podcast, is available on Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or kung saan man kayo Puma Podcast. This episode was produced by our executive producer, Kat Ventura. It was edited by Mark Casillan.
With reports from Joseph Quiñones and Tricia Aquino. Maraming salamat po.